kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hello, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and thank you for participating in these studies where we have been focusing on the person of God. We need to know God as He is revealed in Scripture. And then I'm sure you remember that we have established in the course of our studies that we cannot figure God out with our heads and with our minds. So the only way to know God is through the means of the divine self-revelation. And remember, we saw there are three means, principal means by which God has revealed Himself to humanity. The first one is in His creation, the works of His hands. By taking a long look at the things that God made, we see His greatness, we see His majesty, and we see His infinite power manifested in the works of His hands. And you know, we then think, if He can do this, then He can do other things. If He can hang the earth on nothing, then He can hang me on nothing. He can sustain me with no money in my pocket. He can. That's why He's God. If He can provide rain and all kinds of benefits free to all of the earth, then He should be able to look after His children. So you see, the more we see God in the greatness of His power, in the things that He made, the more we can trust Him, knowing that our issues are smaller than His creation. All things must be possible to the one that created all things. Don't forget that statement. Everything must be possible to the one that made everything. Then remember, God has also revealed Himself in His written word. So the more we engage the written word and we see the things that God has said about Himself in His word, the more we know Him accurately, and then the more we can worship Him acceptably. A proper revelation of God is fundamental to acceptable worship. And we get to see Him as He is when we see Him as He is revealed in Scripture. And then God has revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then remember, we now saw that, you know, we encountered what we call divine attributes. These are God's trademarks, qualities, characteristics that are exclusively present in God, which He reveals to us in Scripture, and then which He imparts to us as His children by nature, and then by continuing to fellowship with Him. So, these are things that we have seen, and I want to encourage you to continue to meditate and study these divine attributes, because they will provide you with a balanced revelation of who God is, not a skewed, one-sided God who is all this, but then other aspects of His character are not important to us. We will not be able to walk with God if we see Him like that. Then remember, we have seen that God is a Trinity: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we saw that that divine Trinity is taught very clearly in Scripture. And those who try to suggest that Jesus is the same person manifesting Himself as God the Father, and then manifesting Himself as Jesus, and then manifesting Himself as the Holy Spirit, you can see that they have a big problem. Because like at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father spoke from heaven, the Holy Spirit descended on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Father said, "This Jesus being baptized is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So it could not be Jesus manifesting Himself in those three ways. It shows that there are three persons in one God, and they are absolutely one. Because of our limited understanding, we will not be able to figure this out. But because it is revealed in Scripture, and clearly taught in the Word, we need to receive that revelation and then grow in our understanding of who God is. Now, I like us to look at God the Father, and you see, seeing God as Father is so important. Do you know, to tell you the truth, other religions cannot fathom, they cannot understand the audacity of Christians claiming that God is their Father. Who is your Father? The God of heaven and earth that created all things, this great and terrible God? But the answer is a categorical yes. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we now know God as Father. And the fatherhood of God to the believer is not theoretical, it's actual. Actually, we have been we have become God's children, God's sons and daughters, by the two principal means by which sonship is possible. There are only two ways recognized anywhere in the world that somebody can become a son. Number one is by birth. If you give birth, you know, father somebody and then the person is born, that is your son. He has your genes inside. The second means of sonship is adoption. And you will notice that God has adopted us through his son, Jesus Christ. But then apart from adoption, God has, the Bible says, we have been born again. We have been begotten by the Father God through the sacrifice and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are God's children by birth, and now we are also God's children by adoption. He has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Almighty God. So we are God's children by birth, being born of God. He says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We read this in 1 John chapter 5 from verses, 4 and 5. So God is our Father. And God the Father is described as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, where Brother Paul was telling the story of how he escaped from Damascus in a basket. He says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. And then, he told how he was able to escape from Damascus in a basket through the window on the wall. Praise God. God will make a window on the wall. The enemy is powerless to cage you in, child of God. I want you to believe what I'm saying. The grace of God, grace is God's window on the wall, causing you to escape satanic entrapment. When the enemy thinks that he has hedged us in, there is a rope and there is a basket. God will make a way of escape. Glory to the name of Jesus. You will never be stranded in life because you have an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Father who has you in the palms of his hands and who lives inside your heart. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then we are also told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 that he is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's an amazing scripture telling us that God is one, and then he is the Father of all, is the Father of his children. Now, by the way, God is Father over all creation, in this, not in the sense of begetting them, but in the sense of being the origin. You see, fatherhood connotes origins, the originator, the progenitor, the source. All of these things are contained in the concept of fatherhood. And in a general sense, God is the Father of all creation, but they are not his children in the sense of, we believers being his children. That's why Jesus could say to some people, you are of your father, the devil. So every human being is not a child of God. The reason is because Some people are still children of the devil until they get saved. But glory to God, because of what Christ has done for us, we are God's children. And he is father of us all, and he is above all. Can you imagine the possibilities of having a father who is above all? He's above all, above every situation, every circumstance, every disease, every name, every crisis. He is above all. He is the most high and is our father. And then he walks through all. So because God is our father, he can walk through any of us, his children. And then he is present in you all. He indwells us all. You see, the fatherhood of God is a major reason why those of us that belong to his family, why we must receive and accept one another as God received us for Christ's sake. We must accept one another because we have the same father. We have the same father. And the amazing miracle is that we share the same father as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God the Father is God Almighty. He is the eternal God. He is Jehovah. I am that I am. The one that appeared to Abraham and Moses in the Old Testament. He's the same God. He's the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. To him be praise and glory forever and ever. Now, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ spent a lot of time. When Jesus prayed, he prayed to God as Father. It was, as far as I remember, only in one instance when Jesus cried. That was on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ cried, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason for that was very clear, that he was bearing our sins. He was condemned on our behalf. And the Father God turned his face away, as he poured the judgment that should come to us on his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus cried out, he said, my God, that's the only place I remember where he prayed to God as my God. The rest of the places he was talking to him as the Father. Jesus kept on talking about God as his Father. In John chapter 14, from verse 17. Okay, John chapter 5, rather, from verse 17 to 27. He spoke a lot about the Father there. John 5, from verse 17. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. You see, if our Father is working, then we should be working. If the Father God is laboring, it would be irresponsible of us as his children to be, slumbering and sleeping and refuse to get engaged in our Father's priorities. Oh, glory to God Almighty. I pray that you will labor alongside the Father for the salvation of the world by bringing the gospel to those for whom Christ died. So the Bible now says in verse 18, for this reason, John 5, 18, for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father. The Amplified Bible said his own peculiar Father, thereby making himself equal with God. You see, if the Jews understood that if somebody is your father, then you are like him. You are in the same class. So when Jesus said God was his Father, to them, as far as they are concerned, it was blasphemy in their ears because this person is making himself equal to God. And do you know that there is a sense in which we believers, we are in the same class with the Father God. We have his nature. Don't forget that he gave birth to us. That's why we are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We are born of God. That's not theoretical. You're a new creature in Christ. And then apart from giving birth to us, by regeneration and the work of his Holy Spirit, the Father God also adopted us into his family. We are God's children, biologically and legally. When I say biologically, I mean spiritually. He has begotten us again. And then legally, we are his children by adoption. And it means that we have his nature. So he puts us in the God class. We have the God kind of life. Hallelujah. So you see, the Jews knew the implications of fatherhood. You see, they said not only was he breaking the Sabbath by healing and doing miracles, but he was even daring to call God his own father, making himself equal to God. So Jesus then said to them, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So you see, and Jesus is the pattern Son here. So it means that we should only be doing what we see the Father doing. Hallelujah. And it means that we can do what the Father does because he lives in us and is working in us by the power of his Spirit. You see, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And yes, to your amazement, you will show him even greater things than this. Verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. See, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the Father. Verse 24, John 5. He said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And that person will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He said, I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. This is powerful. That's the divine aseity. He has life in himself, by himself, as the source of the life. He didn't get life from anybody. Jesus said that's exactly how he is, the Son of God. He has life in himself. And then he has given him authority to judge, because he's the Son of Man. So you see, Jesus's peculiar relationship with the Father is what Jesus has now brought us into. You see, Jesus had what I call exclusive privileges. I deal with this in detail in the book, The Indwelling, The Exceeding Greatness of God's Power That Is at Work in You. And in the indwelling, I show that as the Son of God, Jesus had these exclusive sonship privileges. But he decided to share these privileges with us, his brothers. Where he was alone by merit, he paid the price to bring us in by grace. Oh, glory! Jesus paid the price so that we can stand with him by grace, where he stood alone by merit. He was the only Son in glory, but he took the pain and the suffering so that he could bring many sons to glory, and not an inferior version of glory, but to the same glory that he himself had with the Father. To the extent that he even said, the glory that you have given to me, Father, I have given to them, my disciples. Glory to the Son of God. So, and as we walk with God as Father, then these exclusive privileges, you know, now begin to apply to us. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because, of course, if we are children, then heirs. That's what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8. It says, then if children, he said, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is Romans chapter 8 and from verse 15. 15 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. Dada. My daughter, my little daughter calls me Dada. You know, and when she says that, it just melts my heart. And whatever I'm doing, I have to postpone it to attend to her. That's how we approach God as the Father. You see, many of us, we've had, you know, very terrible experiences with our earthly fathers. I want you to know your Heavenly Father is radically, radically, radically different. Oh, he longs to embrace you with his love, with open arms. And what a wonder when we approach God as Father. Of course, we reverence Him. We honor Him. Oh, but we are drawn by His love and by His grace to us in Christ. Hallelujah. So there is a spirit in you that cries out, Abba, Father, because of who Jesus is. And now, because you're a child of God, then you're an heir. Because you see, now that we have become children of God, if God were to die, Jesus alone will not take His inheritance, His property. All the inheritance has to be shared among the children. Don't forget, Jesus is by merit, but for all of us, it's by grace. But glory to God, that is where we stand. Amen. So begin to see God as your Father. It will change everything. It will change the way you pray. It will change the anxieties. Imagine that your father is almighty. Just close your eyes and picture having an almighty Father who is ever present. Who is ever present. Who is omniscient. Do you know that my Father knows what the devil is planning against me next week and next year? My Father already knows. My Father knows all the moves, the pits that the enemy digs, the plots, the arrangements to destroy my life. My Father is almighty and He has all this information. Sometimes when I pray, I say, Father, cause me to benefit from your omniscience. Let your omniscience benefit me. Use your omniscience, your omnipresence, your omnipotence to help me. I begin to pray. I say, Father, use your omniscience. Do you understand what it means when your Father's all-knowingness, His omniscience, begins to work on your behalf? He knows tomorrow. He knows, and this is my Father we are talking about. Imagine that you know everything about everything. Don't you think that your knowledge, you will use it to benefit your children? If you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, note, he doesn't say will God, he says your heavenly Father, give to those that ask Him. It's just that many of us, we have not learned how to approach God as our Father. But this understanding from Scripture hopefully will help you to begin to change that. Hallelujah. So God the Father is recognized in Scripture as the creator of all things through His Son, Jesus, by the power of His Holy Spirit. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. Look what he says. He says, yes, for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and then we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So to us there is one God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief architect, the planner of our salvation, the creator of all things, and He executed our salvation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible tells us that God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and not imputing unto us our trespasses. He was reconciling the world to Himself. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, Paul was praying for the Ephesians, and he was praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So notice, God is also the Father of glory. And if He's the Father of glory and He's our Father, you can see that we are called to glory. Glory is in our nature. Hallelujah. The glory of God is part of our nature. Glory is inherent in the child of God. Wow. The Father of glory, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was praying that He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you will know the hope of your calling. Hallelujah. You will know the exceeding greatness of His power, which God wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers, and He has put all things under His feet. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. So it is God the Father that raised up Jesus from the dead. Are you following that now? By the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in Ephesians, chapter 1 and verses 2. He said, 2 and 3. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. God the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the Father of glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible calls Him the Father of mercies. So, Father of glory, Father of mercies. You see it in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of our troubles, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the same comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by God. This is God our Father. He is the Father of mercies. Your Father is the Father of glory. Your Father is the Father of mercy. Your Father is the Father, the God of all comforts. The one that knows how to comfort, how to send help. The one that sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be resident in us. Do you know that God is also called the Father of lights? You read that in James chapter 1 verse 17. He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9, God is called the Father of spirits. He is a Father that gave birth to our recreated spirits. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God Almighty. And thank God that He's our Father. In John chapter 20 verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ, after He rose from the dead, you know, Mary was trying to, you know, touch Him. And He says to Mary in John chapter 20 and verse 17, He said, do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to My Father, but go to My brethren, hallelujah, and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and your Father, and to My God and your God. Notice what Jesus is saying here. He says, I'm ascending to My Father, your Father. So you see, by virtue of the price that He paid, His Father has become our Father. We share the same Father as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul was praying to the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that He will grant unto us, according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Oh, and to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us, to Him be praise and glory by Christ Jesus forever and ever. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God Almighty. To share the same Father with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the highest privilege that is possible. Not theoretically, we have the same Father as Jesus. You and Jesus are brothers. In that scripture, it says, my brethren. He calls us brothers. Of course, He's our Lord and our Master. But you see, there are multiple relationships that we have with the Lord. And we can approach Him on this astounding platform as our Savior, and we share the same Father. So this is God the Father revealed in Scripture, is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of lights, the Father of glory, the Father of mercy, the Father of all comforts, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, the Creator of all things. Wow! The glory of children, the Bible says, is their Father. Our glory is in the Father that we have. Blessed be His name forever. Oh, Father, thank You. Please continue to reveal Yourself to us as our Father, and help us to approach You and to worship You like that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.